Ladies and gentlemen, Yagwe, I have the honor of joining you this morning not only as the chairperson for the Republic of the Marshall Islands National Nuclear Commission, but also as a descendant of survivors of nuclear weapons testing and a mother to my three children. The Marshall Islands National Nuclear Commission was established in 2017 to coordinate the government's needs to address the ongoing and unresolved issues of this history and to secure nuclear justice for the people of the Marshall Islands. This is a legacy not only of suffering, loss, and frustration, but also of strength, unity, and unwavering commitment to justice. The profound and painful chapter begins nearly 80 years ago. Despite initial petitions by our people to cease the experiments during a time where the United Nations was in control of our fate, our pleas were met with silence and resolutions to continue the destruction. The immediate effects of the infamous Bravo shot were harrowing. Hours after the exposure on March 1st, many people fell ill. They began to itch and scratch, with each scratch peeling their skin off. There was a burning sensation in their eyes. Their stomachs was churning in pain. Their fingernails had changed color, and they developed severe migraines. Mothers watched as their children's hair fell to the ground and blisters devoured their bodies overnight. During evacuation and as part of the decontamination process, my family, along with the rest of the community, were stripped of their clothing and they stood naked aboard the ship, humiliated and ravaged by gruesome blistering burns. They were hosed down with a pressure washer and on their way to Kwajalein Atoll. Without their consent, they were enrolled as test subjects to a top secret medical lab study on the effects of radiation on human beings. Initially, this study required blood and urine samples 3 times a day. It also required bathing in the lagoon and scrubbing their burns with soap in the salt water. This study continued for 40 years and involved the extraction of healthy teeth, bone marrow, thyroid glands, and other parts of our bodies and stored them in a laboratory for research purposes. This study withheld treatment from us to monitor and document the way our bodies respond to exposure. This study sourced an unexposed group from nearby atolls, matched by the age and sex of the exposed group. This study returned us to our highly contaminated home, so the scientists could now study how the body reacts to radiation in the environment traveling through the food chain. The study brought my very own great-grandparents to New York, where they were told by U.S. medical researchers that they were being taken for treatment in the best hospitals in the nation, not knowing they were flown in to be showcased as objects during researchers' barbecues and picnics. The study performed autopsies under breadfruit trees in front of grieving and traumatized families. It wasn't long after the initial exposure when health concerns began to arise. Our communities were plagued with various types of cancer, thyroid disease, and our reproductive health had been compromised. Women began giving birth to what we call jellyfish babies. Jellyfish babies was coined after the birth of many babies who were born without limbs or a head, whose skin was so transparent their mothers saw their tiny hearts beating within. So deformed, our babies were sometimes born resembling the features of an octopus, the intestines of a turtle. In some instances, a bunch of grapes or a strange-looking animal. We were told by those scientists that our babies were a result of incest, many of which were stored in jars that were kept in our old hospital lab, destroyed by fire along with the hospital records after the trusteeship had ended and the Marshall Islands gained its independence. This legacy has labeled us many names. At one point, scientists were intrigued that we seemed to be more like humans than mice. During oral examinations, researchers learned several phrases in Marshallese, one of them being Walangi Mangeo, which means open your mouth, monkey. Through it all, when asked, my grandfather, or Jimma, would say he felt like a guinea pig. The Runa Dome and the plutonium both inside and outside that facility, located in Eniwetok Atoll, pose a significant threat and to the health and well-being of our communities. We now face the terrifying reality of raising our families in a poisoned environment. Honorable members of the Human Rights Council, I come before you to share a deeply personal truth and my own experience as a caregiver for someone ravaged by cancer. As I watched my loved one endure relentless pain, I grappled with a profound sense of helplessness, with the weight of his suffering entwined with my own. In this vulnerable state, I witnessed firsthand how crucial access to comprehensive health care is, which is something we don't have back home. As we discuss human rights today, let us remember that the dignity of every individual, especially those in their most vulnerable moments, must be fiercely protected and upheld. In conclusion, I end with these words from an esteemed elder who is no longer with us. John Ignilang worked tirelessly to make sure others never have to face the experience and horror of nuclear weapons. They can take me as I am, take my body to use it anywhere, but not my children, the future. That's what I need, to know my children will not be used as guinea pigs. They could take my body, they could tear it apart, and share it with all the world to study with, but not my children. Come on.